Oh, hey, what's up? It's Ben Greenfield. This podcast sounds a little funny sounding. It's because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, way on the hills of Napa Valley, if that's nowhere. And I'm at this event called Roonga, but I happen to be staying in what they're calling the cookhouse, which I think is a fancy name for the barn. So I'm in kind of a cavernous room that might sound a little echoey with all of my traveling podcasting equipment. I've also had to pass the marshmallow test many, many times while in this little cookhouse because it's where they're cooking the meals for all the guests. And they're doing these amazing scrumptious breakfasts and lunches and dinner, but it means that the entire place I'm staying in is like littered with cacao nibs and spirulina and truffles and superfoods and organic almonds and cashews and these amazing like heirloom vegetables. And so I'm just trying not to wake up at midnight and eat at night. So that's a big pat on the back for me. I did a good job not eating all of the food. Some may or may not have gone missing. I'm just saying. Anyways, I'm also recording today's episode as a solo-sode. Why am I recording it as a solo-sode? Which I really like to say, obviously. Because I've gotten so many questions about this liver cleanse that I did. This liver cleanse. And whether it's just complete woo-woo bullshit or what happens if you do a liver cleanse and whether there's any science behind it. So I did this right. I got pre and post blood test results. I tracked my aspartate aminotransferase and alanine aminotransferase and GGT and testosterone and all these hormones and enzymes and markers that would theoretically change if one cleanses their liver or does what I'm about to explain to you. I'm going to detail it all on today's solo-sode.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full-spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
All right, so here's the very quick backstory, and I'm going to link to everything that you're about to learn about if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse. Approximately 3.5 weeks ago, I did a complete blood panel, as I do on a quarterly basis. I test everything under the sun. I worked with a company called Wellness FX to help them develop what they call the Greenfield Longevity Panel. And it's everything. It's inflammatory markers. It's all the particle counts for LDL and HDL, free fatty acids, a full testosterone panel, a very complete thyroid panel, all metabolic hormones, all liver health hormones, kidney health hormones, etc. And one of the things that leapt out on the results for that panel were the fact that my liver enzymes were markedly elevated, indicating a high amount of liver stress, and even the type of elevated liver enzymes one might see in, say, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is a growing epidemic, actually, especially in the United States. So what do I mean by this? Well, my aspartate aminotransferase, it's risky if that's above 40. Mine was at 172. It's risky if what's called your alanine aminotransferase, another very important enzyme, is above 55. Mine was at 83. I also had mildly elevated what is called alkaline phosphatase, another liver enzyme, relatively high albumin levels, a type of protein in the blood. And although my inflammation was low, I was showing all signs of some pretty significant liver stress. So I got to thinking, and what I decided was that I wanted to test out these liver cleanses that are so popular these days, kind of piece something together for myself that didn't involve drinking copious amounts of juice, which I really do not consider to be very blood sugar friendly at all, and instead involved almost like a doable detox that I could still do at home, that I could still work out during, which was very important to me, and that I could accomplish in a relatively short period of time because I didn't have a lot of time. I had about 7 to 10 days at home, and so the first 3 days of this protocol, actually, all I did was just not drink alcohol and not drink coffee, both of which are recommended to avoid on any type of liver cleansing protocol. And then I started into, for the next 7 days, exactly what I'm going to describe to you. And again, I'll include photos of all of this and some pretty comprehensive resources along with any of the previous podcasts I've done on things like detoxification, and a podcast in which I go over that initial blood work panel, which I think folks found very interesting. I got lots of good feedback on that in how to interpret your own blood work, basically. But we're just going to focus on the liver today. So you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse for the show notes. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse. So let's start here with liver flushing. So think of the liver as almost like this intelligent central processing unit in your body that can filter and clean about 1.5 liters of blood each minute. And it's got about 500 different biochemical reactions that occur within the liver, including a phase 0, phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3 detoxification pathway, which I've outlined in other articles on my website that I will link to. So these processes include things like the division and the breakdown of chemical substances, what we refer to as catabolism, the synthesis of protein molecules, what we call anabolism, and a whole host of functions that make it so that if the liver's enzymes, which are responsible for many of these metabolic reactions, are not working properly or out of balance or are markedly elevated, then many of these processes are not going to work properly. You no doubt know that the liver acts as a purification plant for the blood, and it plays a vital role in detoxifying and excreting a wide variety of both endogenous and exogenous compounds. However, the liver, it can regenerate pretty rapidly. It can regrow and function with about 10% of actual healthy liver tissue. You know, when they do a liver transplant, about 7 ounces of healthy or transplanted liver can save a human life, even though the entire liver organ weighs about 4.5 pounds, or when it's full of blood, up to about 7 pounds. So the liver has some pretty significant regenerative properties. So there's actually a tale, Greek mythology, about the regenerative properties of the liver, the myth of Prometheus. Prometheus was the Titan who was very generous towards humanity and who stole fire from the king of the gods, Zeus, and distributed the fire as a gift among humans. So Zeus punished Prometheus by having him chained to a rock where an eagle would pick at his liver every day. But then at night, Prometheus's liver would regrow at the same rate as the eagle devoured it during the day. So eventually he was freed, but it's very interesting how in that Greek mythological society, it was considered to be capable of regrowing, regenerating the liver. Then there was the Greek physician Hippocrates, who described 4 different what he called humors, and one of them was the yellow bile of the liver. And he basically said that, you know, the bile, when it doesn't flow, can stagnate and form like this thick black substance. And so the word melancholy actually means black bile, and it can affect your digestion and your mood. And in many times, people who are having liver issues, they have poor digestion and poor mood. It's associated with feelings like rage and anger when your bile doesn't flow properly. I realize that sounds a little woo, but there are actually many references in ancient and modern medical literature to the influence of the liver on the mood, on the emotions, on the intellectual state, and instructions for how to clean the organ as well. So according to traditional Chinese medicine, for example, the liver holds your soul. It's associated with being an organ full of energy and powers. And, you know, in Chinese traditional medicine, cleansing the liver is a regular practice. It's thought that if your qi, your vital energy, is not able to flow along the liver meridian, it ends up concentrating in the organ, and it shows up as irritability and anger and depression and being melancholy. And the gallbladder, which I talked about with Anne-Louise Gittleman in my last podcast, operates very, very similarly. So the idea is that cleansing the liver is something that involves amplifying the ability of these detoxification pathways to actually work properly, And this is important because it's also going to assist with bile production. This is where it ties into the gallbladder piece, because the cells of the liver, your hepatocytes, those produce about 500 to 1500 milliliters of bile a day. That's like 2.5 pints of bile. And that's that dense yellow liquid, you know, the Hippocrates was referring to, that circulates from the bile ducts, which are the bile vessels, to the common bile duct to be stored in the gallbladder after it's produced by the liver. Now, over time, the bile retained in the gallbladder can condense, because it's composed of bile salts, these can form mineral stones. And in many cases, people who need a liver flush or liver detoxification, they will actually see these little stones in the toilet after they've taken a crap. You'll see these little stones in your poop. I actually investigated my poop during this liver protocol and did not notice anything like that. So perhaps I wasn't all the way down the road of minerals accumulating as bile salts in my gallbladder. But ultimately, when you detox your liver, you increase healthy bile production, and you also stimulate release of the bile by the gallbladder, in addition to peristalsis, if you're doing things like the coffee enema that I did during this cleanse. That I'll talk about. So occasionally, you know, another issue that can happen is if the bile isn't adequately expelled due to a dysfunction of the muscles of the gallbladder, what can happen is what they call congestion of the liver, a sensation of feeling really full after eating, bloated, frequent constipation, kind of heaviness, you know, like this foul-smelling poop, and kind of hard feces that a lot of times look like, you know, deer or goat droppings rather than well-formed human stool. So if you're experiencing any of these type of issues, then you should continue to pay attention, because I'm going to talk a little bit about how to cleanse your liver and how this actually works. So a few other terms you need to be familiar with. When I talk about a fatty liver, or a liver that needs flushing, what that means is the cells of the liver are saturated with fat. Think of this like liver pate. And what are called the intrahepatic bile ducts found inside the liver, those are full of bile, but they have a very high concentration of cholesterol in them in that case, because the amount of cholesterol produced by the liver and then reabsorbed and recycled in many cases can accumulate in the liver itself. And so you have excess cholesterol in the liver. And you also have these issues with bile accumulation in the liver as well. So during a flush, the liver is basically gently encouraged to increase its excretory function in order to eliminate all that bile trapped in the bile ducts and to allow the gallbladder to evacuate that bile. And it typically involves the drainage and elimination of any accumulated toxins or cholesterol or other fractions of fat, and then an increase in actual bile flow. And learning how to detoxify and cleanse the liver is actually something that I think is smart to know how to do, because it's something that if you know how to do what I'm about to explain to you, you can regularly care for your liver without having to go to medical clinic per se. You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't want you to misconstrue this as medical advice. If you do have, like, you know, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, I do recommend that you see a doc and that you not just, like, you know, drink celery juice or something like that. But ultimately, knowing what you're about to learn here, which is really simple, is something that you can do multiple times per year, especially if you come back with blood results similar to what I had, or if you've ever struggled with constipation or bloating and gas after a meal, or if you've ever had a period of time when you eat while in a stressed out state, or you've used a lot of, for example, excess alcohol or coffee, or just use that for a long time consistently in general. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do to increase the need for the liver to be cleansed. In my case, you know, I drink alcohol regularly. I drink coffee regularly. You know, I exercise regularly, which can also, and we'll hopefully get to that on this podcast or a future podcast, which can significantly affect many things like white blood cells and CRP and your liver enzymes and your cholesterol and what's called your prostate specific antigen. There's a lot of things that can be influenced by exercise and elevated by exercise, but exercise can even elevate liver enzymes to a certain extent. A normal change would be up to double the high end of normal levels, but the thing is, I didn't exercise any differently prior to this liver enzyme panel as I had done prior to other panels, and yet it was significantly elevated. And levels more than two times the upper limit are unlikely to stem from exercise. Those are typically the type of things that stem from some pretty serious liver issues. And in addition to that, my liver and gallbladder, when I'd palpate them, when I put my hands on them and kind of palpate them, they were also pretty tender to the touch, which also made me weigh pretty seriously this idea that I may be able to benefit from some type of a cleansing protocol for the liver. So rather than me putting myself at the risk of talking about things that I don't think have been heavily researched, I instead just want to tell you what I did, which is more of like the use of Ayurvedic cleansing principles, and then tell you what kind of results that I got from those. I'm not going to make this into an hour-long podcast about the physiology of celery juice and how exactly it could work, if theoretically it would work, to cleanse the liver. I instead just want to tell you how to make it and how I used it, how I combined all this together, and what happened when I did that. So I'm just going to walk you through this step by step. But before I do, I'm actually going to cut straight to the chase and tell you exactly what happened when I tested my labs, what they actually looked like. So, as I mentioned to you, prior to doing what I'm about to explain to you, my liver enzymes were markedly elevated in the way that I described. Aspartate aminotransferase, alkaline phosphatase, and alanine aminotransferase were all elevated. In addition, my hormones were actually pretty good. My free testosterone was at 78. My total testosterone was at 880. My sex hormone binding globulin, which you actually want in most cases, to a certain extent, lower, not higher, because that binds up your hormones and makes them unavailable to be used in other tissues. That was at 84. And then the one value that I did not test on the previous test, but that I tested on the follow-up test, was what's called GGT, gamma glutamyl transferase. You can think of those other enzymes I mentioned as good proxies for liver health, but GGT is a good proxy for gallbladder health, as you may have heard if you listened again to that last podcast that I did with Anne-Louise Gittleman. Now, I'm going to publish all these results over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse, but in a nutshell, I'm going to read to you the numbers. My alanine aminotransferase was at 83 after the 3 days of no alcohol and no caffeine, followed by the 7 days of this liver cleanse, dropped from 83 to 33. My aspartate aminotransferase dropped from 172 to 37. From 172 to 37. My GGT, the marker of gallbladder health, was rock bottom at 15, meaning extremely, extremely low risk. Now, in addition to that, here's what surprised me even more. My free testosterone jumped from 78 to 115, and my total testosterone jumped from 881 to 1,154, which I hadn't expected, but it makes sense because the liver actually plays a crucial role in the processing of hormones. And so when I see a steep rise in testosterone like this from this type of protocol, I know that some of it was probably due to the fact that I was not drinking any alcohol at all, and alcohol can have a mild suppressive effect on testosterone. But I think a big part of this also came down to the enhanced liver function that occurred during this cleanse. So ultimately, pre and post blood testing was profound in terms of what it showed actually happened when I did this cleanse.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis or sweating or doing hot yoga or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at. Maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Lila Q. .com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
Okay, so I know if you're listening, you're probably a foodie. So I want to start with what I actually ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the 7 days of this cleanse after I spent those first 3 days, as I mentioned, not drinking alcohol or caffeine. What I ate was a meal called Kichari. That's spelled K-I-T-C-H-A-R-I. I'm going to give you the exact recipe over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse, along with the few twists that I made on this recipe. But Kichari is essentially a one-pot meal of lentils and rice. typically made with a little ghee or clarified butter and some spices, along with garlic and onions. I didn't use garlic. I didn't use onions. I didn't use ghee. I didn't use rice. And I actually used what are called split yellow mung beans. Split mung beans are not only a fabulous source of a lot of proteins and vitamins, but they're also something that are traditionally used as an actual liver cleanse. So I use the split mung beans. The reason I didn't use the rice was the same reason that I did not juice. I did not juice. And I will tell you what I did instead of juicing momentarily, because I did not want to do a cleanse that involved lots of sugar, lots of fructose, lots of carbohydrates. I wanted to actually maintain a, you know, relatively ketogenic state while still consuming enough food stuff to keep my metabolism elevated and to give me energy and allow me to work out. Now, the only thing that I miss out on when doing that is that when you add the rice to the beans, technically that makes a complete protein. That's why kachari typically has the rice with the beans. It's a grain with a legume, and that does make a complete vegetable-based protein, but I got my protein via other means that I felt were kinder to my blood sugar levels. Now, another thing that's used in kachari is a special herb called hing. It's also pronounced asafoetida. It's a very pungent, sulfuric-smelling spice, but it's extremely rich in sulfur. It's widely used as a digestive aid in Ayurvedic medicine. It's a staple in Indian cuisine. Very simple to find. You can buy it off Amazon, or you can find it at just about any grocery store. You only really need a pinch of that, but that's one of the prime ingredients in kachari. You know, think of it as like almost like glutathione in herbal form, a sulfur-rich antioxidant. And then there are also a lot of black mustard seeds, which increase what's called sulforaphane, which is incredibly important antioxidant and detoxification compound. Mustard seeds increase the bioavailability of the sulforaphane that you would get from cruciferous vegetables. And so I put that in there too, because I put specific vegetables that I'm about to tell you about into this kachari as well. Now, here is exactly what I did. I made a huge pot twice. That's all it took, and just kept the pot in the fridge for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I would just have a big scoop of this stuff for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I used the split yellow mung beans. I used coconut oil rather than ghee. I used a little bit of miso for flavoring, like a non-GMO organic miso. I used 4 cups of bone broth made by Kettle and Fire. I used what's called a Kettle and Fire bone broth. And then 2 tablespoons of coconut cream. Okay, so those are all the ingredients. And then the spices were cumin, fennel, coriander, ginger, turmeric, fenugreek, black mustard, and that hing stuff that I told you about. I used 2 cups of bok choy, cilantro, and dinosaur kale. So I got a lot of the cruciferous activation combined with those mustard seeds. And then every time I ate it, I just used a little bit of fresh lime juice, a dollop of coconut yogurt, which is a really good stomach-friendly, gut-friendly, probiotic-rich compound, and then just sea salt to taste. So, you know, I'll put the exact instructions. I don't expect you to memorize them on the podcast, but essentially you just, you know, you simmer all this stuff over the stovetop after you've soaked the beans, of course, for about 24 hours beforehand and rinse them. And then you make this, and I just had a big old scoop of this for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner, along with 1 giant 16-ounce glass of celery juice, which is also quite commonly used in a lot of these detoxification protocols. Tastes amazing, very mineral rich, and I just wanted to see if there was anything to this whole celery juice thing. Now, admittedly, this is a multimodal approach that I was using, and some people say, well, how do you know it wasn't just the celery juice or just the kachari or just whatever else? But the fact is that it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. If you're going to do a multimodal approach to get the results that I got, just do the multimodal approach, and who cares which one of those little things like move the dial the most? I say just do them all, because I think this shotgun approach, you know, assuming it's healthy, is it works. So And it just, it simplifies things rather than trying to split everything out and do just the celery juice, then pre and post lab test, then just the Kachari and pre and post lab test. That would just be a nightmare. So anyway, so I ate the Kachari for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 7 days. And honestly, it's pretty tasty. Like I put some nice salt on there with the coconut yogurt and the lime juice. It's pretty good. And along with the glass of celery juice, it was very fulfilling. Now, one thing that I did do, and this will answer the protein piece for you, is with the celery juice, I put 2 scoops of the cool lime flavored amino acid powder from Keon in there. So I was getting 20 grams of protein, 20 grams of extremely bioavailable amino acids with very low digestive distress or the need for to break down the protein because they're all pre-broken down, the essential amino acids. So those were in the celery juice. The other thing that I occasionally did to the celery juice is I would add just a little touch of greens powder to it, stir all that up, and I would just drink that right before I ate my Kachari. The other thing that I added to each glass of celery juice, and this is important because malic acid is used quite commonly in liver cleanses, but the way that most folks tell you to do it is they tell you to eat, to drink apple cider, like copious amounts of apple cider. Well, I didn't want to mainline that much sugar and fructose into my bloodstream, so I didn't do the apple cider. Instead, I cut straight to the chase and I purchased organic malic acid powder on Amazon, which is the active ingredient of apple cider that one would use for a cleanse, and I just stirred that into the celery juice. So I basically made celery juice with a teaspoon of malic acid, couple scoops of Keon aminos, and then Kachari. And that's just what I ate each day. And what I tell people are like, I get bored with eating the same thing every day. I just shut up your inner bitch, enjoy the food, put some salt on it, and step up to the plate and eat it. Actually, it doesn't taste bad. People are starving in Africa. Eat your Kachari. So that was the majority of the actual foods that I consumed during this cleanse. My workout energy was just fine. I felt great. My blood sugar level stayed very low. As a matter of fact, I didn't even mention this to you, but on the lab results, I should have mentioned this when I was giving you my lab results, because I also did test my blood glucose. And my blood glucose, it dropped from 90 fasted blood glucose to 50. So I was in full-on ketosis while still consuming, basically lentil stew for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with very low blood glucose levels. So that is what the food piece looked like. So next what I'll do is move on to some of the practices that I incorporated throughout the week in addition to what I was actually eating. There are some other things that I put into my body, so to speak. So the first thing was that each night in the evening prior to bed, I used the Ayurvedic cleansing herb that originally I recommended in the past as being very fantastic for constipation, but it is an extremely polyphenol-rich cleanse that works incredibly well to improve digestion and to cleanse the gastrointestinal tract. It's another kind of Ayurvedic staple. It's called triphala. It's made up of 3 fruits. That's literally what triphala means. And it's called amalaki, bivitaki, and haritaki. It tastes like ass, but what I would do is I would mix it up with some hot water. I put some vanilla stevia in there, and it didn't taste that bad. The other thing that I did as part of this cleanse, and this is another thing you'll see very often recommended in the liver cleanse, again, I would do a glass of this at night, was Epsom salts. Epsom salts. It's basically powdered magnesium sulfate. It induces a pretty significant bowel movement in the morning. I'll warn you, if you do this, you're going to want an extra 20 minutes or so in the morning. But this 1-2 combo of triphala along with the Epsom salts, it was what I was actually consuming in the evening. And it was about 2 teaspoons of Epsom salts along with 1 heaping teaspoon of the triphala. So I put I didn't combine them together. That would just be even more assy than ass. I instead just stirred the Epsom salts into a glass of warm water, and then I had the triphala that I would sip along with a little bit of vanilla stevia added to it. So the next thing that I did, and I know a lot of people, they squirm about this, but it's one of the best ways to increase bile production by the gallbladder. gallbladder, by the liver, and released by the gallbladder, peristalsis, upregulation of glutathione production by the liver, and I think it helps dramatically. And that was a coffee enema. Now, I'm not going to get into many of the nitty-gritty details of the coffee enema that I did three times during the course of this week that I was doing the liver cleanse, but in a nutshell, you buy what's called a stainless steel enema kit on Amazon, and I'll link to a full article I've written about this. You make a pot of coffee, like good, clean, organic coffee. You then lay on your back on like the bathroom floor. You put the stainless steel bucket with the coffee in it up on the bathroom counter, and then you basically open up like this little clamp, and this coffee all goes up inside your butte. You have like a tube inserted from the steel stainless steel bucket into your butt, and then you lay on your left side for 20 minutes, then you get up and you go to the bathroom. And that's it. So, and I just would like lay there and, you know, take care of stuff on my phone and text people and, you know, Snapchat my coffee enema. May or may not have done that, so on and so forth. So it's not like a huge waste of time, because you can do stuff while you're laying there. Some people also massage their stomach from left down on the left side and then across to the right side in the direction that the colon naturally moves or actually progresses through the gut. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's the coffee enema. I'll put a link to the full protocol, because I understand, like, you don't want to go stick some up your butt based on 60 seconds of an explanation you heard on a podcast. You may want to take a deeper dive than that. But again, over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse, I'll link to that. So I did that three times. I felt that was sufficient. Essentially, I did it every other day. Now, a couple other little things that I threw in there. One was that I used on the very final day, I used a castor oil pack. Castor oil, it's a very, very kind of small molecular weight oil that is very commonly used in cleanses, and literally placed on a little, what I used was a wool pad, and it supposedly stimulates lymph function and liver function. And so I poured the castor oil pack on a wool pad, and then what I did was I own one of these. This sounds funky, but it worked. This sounds like a little biohacky, but I have this belt made by a company called Hyperice, and it vibrates and produces heat. So what I did was I wrapped the castor oil pack with that belt, turned the belt on, so I'm getting vibration, heat, and I had the castor oil located directly over the liver area, upper right quadrant of my abs. And I swear, I know this sounds woo, but I could almost like feel my liver twitching and feel my gut churning in a good way as this thing sat on there. And then I got up and took a massive dump after that too. I was definitely taking a dump 2 to 3 times per day while following this protocol, which is why I kind of want to be at home. I just want to be in my personal environment. I also didn't want to do freaking coffee enemas in hotel rooms, because I think hotel bathrooms are gross enough as it is. So anyways, that was the protocol. Kachari, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, with the celery juice with the malic acid and aminos added to them, Epsom salts at night in the warm water, and then the triphala at night, just made in a hot tea, the castor oil pack with the Hyperice thing added to it, the coffee enema 3 times, no alcohol, no caffeine, and a few other important things, just from a dietary omission standpoint. If you decide you don't just want to eat kachari, you can also have, to a certain extent, some nuts, some raw honey. Any herbal tea is fine. Any vegetable milks like oat milk or rice milk or almond milk or hazelnut milk, that's fine. Fruits and vegetables, for the most part, are allowed. I, again, just want to keep things pretty simple. And I did have those 3 vegetables I mentioned added to my kachari. And again, the ones that I used were bok choy, cilantro, and dinosaur kale. That's just what we happen to have in the garden, honestly. But there's really no meat. That's why I was doing so much of the key on aminos, because I didn't want to lose muscle. So I was still getting 60 grams of protein per day, plus the protein from the lentils and the kachari. No dairy products, no fried foods, no coffee, no alcohol, no tobacco, no like processed foods, obviously. And those are the biggies. And then I would just eat 3 times per day. And that kachari is pretty filling stuff, really, especially when I use the coconut yogurt. It's really one of the only coconut yogurts you can get from the grocery store. Gosh, I forget the brand. It's in like the refrigerated section of the, like a Whole Foods has them, Thrive Market probably has it. I'll hunt down the actual brand. I can't believe I'm blanking on it. I think it's GT's. It's the same company that makes that kombucha. GT's, they make a kombucha. They do a coconut yogurt, but I just use the total non-flavored stuff. Yeah, it's GT's Living Foods coconut yogurt. That was what I used, was GT's Living Foods coconut yogurt. So, anyways, those are the nuts and bolts of the actual liver cleanse. So it really was pretty simple. And you know, I think that that's doable for just about anybody to be able to pull off. You know, like I mentioned, 7 to 10 days seemed more than sufficient. I felt fine. I got all my workouts in, and my results from a pure testosterone standpoint and also a liver health standpoint were profound. And again, I'll link to all of this in the show notes if you kind of want to see what happened. I'll also link to my Kachari recipe. I'll link to the coffee enema post. I also had a fascinating podcast on, it's called the Rain Barrel Effect. It was with this guy named Stephen Cabral on a lot of these Ayurvedic concepts and how they work. I realized that in today's show, unlike many shows that I do, I didn't even make an attempt for you to take a deep dive into the science of, say, celery juice or the science of Kachari. I just wanted to give you the practical nitty-gritty. So that really is the nuts and bolts of the Ben Greenfield modified Ayurvedic liver cleanse that seemed to work like gangbusters for my liver enzymes, also for my testosterone, also for my gallbladder. So if you have comments or questions, I would love to help you out with this. So just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse. I'll also link to the same Wellness FX liver blood test you can do if you don't want to do the full meal deal test. And that should give you just about everything that you need to cleanse your liver. So I hope this has been helpful for you. I hope this hasn't been too woo for you. And ultimately, it really isn't, because I got some fantastic results. Just shows you, when you kind of combine some ancestral wisdom with some modern science and biohacking, this stuff freaking works. So try it out. Again, it doesn't take a lot out of your day, out of your time. Just involves a few little modifications and a few extra time spent in the crapper, I will admit. But ultimately, I highly recommend it. So if you like these type of solo-sodes as well, you find them practical or informative, also let me know in the comments section over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/livercleanse. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.